Well, I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word, please. If you've not brought yours with you, just reach for the black pew Bible in front of you there in the pew rack and turn with us to the book of Romans, the last chapter, Romans chapter 16. I've been going through the book of Romans in a sermon series, and for this month of August, I'm going to be doing a sermon series on friendship in the last chapter of the book of Romans. Did you know that today is International Friendship Day? And it has been since 1919 when Hallmark greeting cards said, you know, we want to create a new holiday between the two major holidays, and we want people to send greeting cards to their friends to celebrate their closeness and their friendship. And many of you in this building today received a Friend Day invitation today. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for responding to that invitation and being here on International Friendship Day. It's going to be a wonderful month as we just look at Romans 16 and all the different friendships that Paul had. If you just went through and counted all the names that Paul lists here as his friends, you'd come up with 21 people by name that he sends personal greetings to, and that does not include the larger groups of people that are closely associated with him. And here's the thing that's so interesting to me, and we'll see this in the month of August. When you look at each one of these names and just look at where they came from, do a little background checking on them, you'll see that Paul's friends crossed the lines of class, of gender, of race, and even crossed the line of families who were former enemies of the cause of Christ. And here's the point for you and me. If Paul's friendships crossed all those demographic lines, ours should also as believers. And you'll learn how to appreciate that through the life of Paul in this month of August. The first friend that Paul mentions is the one that we'll talk about today. She's a female. Her name is Phoebe. And Paul devotes the first two verses of Romans chapter 16 to this dear friend. She was more than a friend. She is the person that was trusted to hand deliver this book of Romans to the people in Rome. And, you know, I've had many mail carriers over the course of my different residences in Florida and now Georgia. And I'll just have to admit, my favorite mail carriers are females. They seem to be more efficient than the males. And I'm sure Paul knew this about Phoebe. And that's why he trusted her and respected her as his associate to take what would become the book of Romans in our Bible to the people in Rome. And when you look at the history of where she came from to hand deliver this book, it was a dangerous trip for a female. She traveled and traversed dangerous roadways and seaways all by herself, because it was important to her to get the message of God to the people of God. And how grateful we are for that today. Paul also uses this correspondence, this last chapter of the book of Romans, to be an introduction of Phoebe to the people there in Rome. This is, in essence, a letter of recommendation. I don't know how many people have asked me to write letters of recommendation for them. High school seniors, those that are pursuing work beyond their bachelor's degree, those that are looking for jobs. And it's always my honor, and I take it very seriously when I write a letter of recommendation, and you better believe Paul did too. That's why he begins with the expression there in verse 1. Just look at it for yourself. I commend to you Phoebe, In other words, I am recommending her to you. This is every bit as important as a modern day character reference. Now, it's suggested that modern resumes ought to have 3 to 5 character references. Some people have a hard time coming up with that many. Like this old boy. He is on a deserted island with his friend, the only 2 inhabitants on this secluded place. And ridiculously, one guy is the personnel director on this deserted island. And the guy that's not the personnel director says, or actually the guy that is the personnel director says, "Are there any other references besides me?" Some job applicants struggle to think of good character references to put on their resume, like this job applicant who states, "Dogs are good judges of character." As you'll notice, I've listed Spot, Rover, and Fido as references. This interviewer asks, "Are all these letters from your mother?" This one informs the applicant, "We really don't like to accept anonymous character references." This personnel director says, "This is the first reference I have ever seen from one's childhood imaginary friend." In jail, one prisoner says to his cellmate, "I'm applying for the job in the prison cafeteria. Can I use you as a reference?" Some people show why they can't get good references. This job applicant says, "My former boss called me," in quotes, "an efficiency expert because I messed up as much as possible in the shortest time." This personnel director sits with resume in hand across the desk from an empty chair. He says, "I see from your resume that you have lost 2 jobs due to tardiness." Finally, this applicant says, "My former boss will tell you that I tend to say inappropriate things, but that's because he's an uptight jerk like you." Well, I want you to see this. I know you can't read it, but I want you to see it. This is a real letter of reference. This is not faked. And so I wanted you to see the actual document. Every line is filled with double meaning. And I also wanted you to see the generous application of whiteout to protect the guilty. This real letter of recommendation begins this way: "To whom it may concern, I have employed Ms. Brown for 3 long years." That's the operative word here, long. "And I am very enthusiastic to recommend her for a new position in any capacity, in any business." The operative word there is any place but here. And you'll see why. "Whatever it is, she will be fantastic at it. While employed here, Ms. Brown has displayed great facility in the use of social and audiovisual media and text messaging, not to mention telephonic skills with a variety of non-employment related parties." In other words, she's on the phone all the time to her kids and to her husband and to her friends when she should be working. Well, he goes on here and it gets a little bit more ridiculous. "Furthermore, Ms. Brown has displayed great attention to detail in many areas, with the possible exceptions of document review, preparation, and mailing, and oftentimes got the mail in the correct box. She is punctual on the days that she comes in on time and always comes in first place in office departure. She has been a pleasure to work with on those occasions when she has had enough sleep, and otherwise conscientiously procures same during her employ." That's a real fancy way to say she sleeps at work. "In terms of productivity, she definitely rates a smiley face," emoji smiley face here. Ms. Brown's many unique qualities will be missed, spelt M-I-S-T. It's not a misspelling. He's really saying it will be gone as quick as the morning mist is gone when the sun rises. Yes, her unique qualities will be missed, and I'm sure that it will take many days to find a replacement of Ms. Brown's character. I fervently hope that Ms. Brown is able to become an amazing asset for another firm, organization, proprietorship, institution, or agency in as expeditious a manner as imaginable. In other words, as quick as possible. If there is any further that I can do to facilitate this, in other words, make this work, let me know. And that would include personally driving Ms. Brown to her new employment. And he closes this way, please, please, please let me know. Thank you for your kind attention to this matter sincerely. And this ex-Esquire has his name whited out. Well, this is a real letter of recommendation that Paul is giving for his female friend, Phoebe. And he showed that she has the sincere traits of a true friend. No doubt you will recognize these same qualities in your friends who are here with you today. And so your Bible's open to Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. And the listening guide is there in your bulletin, where we see, first of all, her F, family. Notice how Paul describes her in such terms of endearment as familial terms. He calls Phoebe our sister. You know, we hear that kind of language quite a bit around Christians because that's what happens whenever you trust Jesus as your Savior. You get a real big family that you become a part of. There are brothers and sisters in that family. And that's what First Baptist Noonan is. It is a family. It is a multi-generational family. Here on any typical Sunday morning, you'll see people in their 90s all the way down to the youngest ages. And we're grateful for this family as we experience life together in God's household of faith. And it leads me to go further and say, everybody, no exceptions, everybody has the need to belong. And that's why if you're not a member of a local family of believers, we want to invite you to be our sister, our brother, our family member here at First Baptist Church. But as you just unpack these two verses, word by word and phrase by phrase, you see that Paul's friend is not only described as F, family, but we also see her R, radiance. Where's that, Jimmy? I don't see that anywhere in this scripture. Oh, it's in the name Phoebe. The original meaning of the name Phoebe is radiant. And in her case, I think that it was more than just her name. I think it described her inner character qualities. When people were around Phoebe, they saw the love of God radiating out of her. Just like many of your friends, whenever they're around you, they're always encouraged because they see Jesus in you. And they see him just spilling out of you and radiating to their lives as well. This light can only be radiated from you if it's inside you. Have you come to the place in your life when you've invited Jesus, the light of the world, into your life? Oh, friend, when you do that, that light just grows and grows and grows and radiates to everyone you come in contact with. Phoebe, Paul's friend, we've seen her F, family, her R, radiance. Now we see her I, involvement, just taking these verses apart, unpacking them word by word and phrase by phrase, Paul says about her that she is a servant in the church. You know, we would love nothing more than for you to be involved here at First Baptist Church Newton, radiating the love of God to this world. Now, I've got good news for you. God has a special place of service for each one of you. He has tailor-made a job just that will fit you based on your personality, based on your passions, based on your talents, based on your experiences, based on your gifts. There are jobs here at First Baptist that no one can fill except you, because He has cut you out to be fitted into this family and involved in the ministry of the Lord. A lot of you say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what my talents are. Oh, we'd love nothing more than to help you discover those and to find a place to be involved here at First Baptist Newnan. When Paul speaks of his friend, he speaks not only of her F family, her R radiance, that's what Phoebe means, her I involvement, but he also speaks of her E entrance. Now he gets into instructions for the people there in Rome, and he gives them this very pointed instruction. When she comes, receive, or your Bible might say, welcome her, and this is very important, this following phrase, in the Lord. Open up the entrance for her, because the entrance into the church is not through baptism, it's not through membership, it's not through good deeds. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And here is the good news today at First Baptist Church. The door of the church is hanging wide open. And we invite you to come into that entrance. I preached last week from the previous chapter 15 and verse 7, which gives the same sentiment, saying, therefore receive or accept or welcome one another, just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. If you will come to Jesus today, he's already made the promise in John 6 that he will not cast you out. The entrance is open if you will just come through the doorway provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see not only her E entrance, we see her N needs. As Paul continues to give instruction to this group of people in Rome, he says, assist her in whatever she has need of. As wonderful as this woman is, she's a human being, and she has needs that need to be met. The expression, a friend in need is a friend indeed, goes all the way back to the 3rd century BC, when the father of Roman poetry, Onesimus Junius, coined this phrase in Latin, and it's been used variously throughout the years. But you know, there's two different ways of looking at that centuries-old proverb, a friend in need is a friend indeed. You can look at it this way. You can look at it this way. A friend who is in need is a friend indeed. In other words, if you know someone around you that has a need, prove your friendship to them by helping them. But there's another way that you can interpret that proverb, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And that is just simply to say that a friend who helps meet needs is a friend indeed. We've all been there. I can't tell you how many friends I have here in this building who have looked at a need that I've had in my life And they've proved their friendship to me by helping me in that need. And it's interesting that this double meaning is seen really here in these last two points. Because Phoebe obviously had a need, but she was also someone who met needs. And that's why we have the last point here in verse 2, and that is Phoebe and her donation. This is what Paul finally says about her. She has been a helper, or literally in other translations, a patron, a benefactor of many. Yeah, she's got needs, and you need to help meet those needs. But you also need to know that she has donated much of her time, much of her energy, and much of her resources to many people, and that includes me also. I want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you for your generous donations to my life and to the life of others in this church. Some of you have practically donated towards the building of this beautiful house of prayer. And I thank you. I thank the widow who gives out of her retirement, her fixed income. I saw that when we had our Chest of Joash here a few months ago, and our church filed past the Chest of Joash, person by person. I saw widows on fixed incomes come and donate so that this building could be accomplished. And then children also. It blessed me so much to see little ones coming on that day when they went past the Chest of Joash to say, I want to be a part. I want to be a helper. I want to be a benefactor. I want to be a donor to what God is doing here. One of those children is not here today. He is in Tokyo, Japan, with his parents, Richard and Renee Owe, and his three other brothers. Richard and Renee were here, and while they were here, they played in our orchestra. They were very much involved in Sunday school, and just a blessing to have them here. And it touched me so much on that day that we had lines of people coming past the Chest of Joash, that we had our missionaries from Japan with their four boys, each one of those youngsters with his own pledge card in his hand to drop in that Chest of Joash. The youngest was Joshua. And before they left, Renee said, Jimmy, I've got to explain something to you. We wish we could be there on the day when y'all open up the sanctuary and y'all worship the Lord there. But we're going to continue to send in our gifts from Japan. And I need to explain to you about Joshua's gift. He pledged 11 cents a month. And I know that seems like an unusual amount, but you're going to get that every month. 11 cents from our youngest son. Oh, I thank God for the grace, for the help that our oldest to our youngest give towards the work of God. That includes your sacrificial giving toward our budget, and you're helping countless others, people that come every day to this front door with needs. You help ministries and missions. Thank you so much for the way you give. We've got such a generous church. I want to thank you for the way you continue to give toward our Vision 2020 project. You've probably already noticed there in your bulletin how we're doing. Our pledged amount is $1.4 million. We are in striking distance of reducing that to less than $1 million. I believe that might happen today, so that when we come back to church next Sunday, we'll see that we've gotten that pledged amount underneath $1 million. How grateful I am for you. And I want you to know the work goes on. This is not the final project. We've got many more projects that Mitch and Alan and the facilities team are involved in, including our historic sanctuary and many, many other things. We still need you to give. You know the reason we give? The reason we give is because God first gave when in John 3:16 it says he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son, so that if you're here without a friend, one that will open up the doorway for you to go to heaven one day, you could trust him and accept him as your Lord and Savior. One of my favorite features in this sanctuary is the cross that you can't see because of the screen right now, but it's up in the baptistry. Alan and his crew took that cross down, and it left kind of a brown place there because they wanted to repaint it to match the beautiful colors that our decorations committee, Patty and Debbie, came up with in here. And they didn't want to leave it the original color, but they repainted it to match the decor of our church. Doesn't that cross remind you of a mathematical sign, a plus sign? That's what Jesus will do for your life. If you will trust him, he will add purpose and meaning to your life like no one else or anything else can do. So trust him today as your Savior, your friend, if you never have. You know, I believe there's some people here today that have already trusted Christ, but you're so excited about what's happening here and you've been praying about a church home. I can't think of a better day than to join First Baptist Church than on this day when we're so excited about the facilities, as Bob says, the tools that he has given us to do ministry. And I can't think of a better day to get in on the ground floor of what he's doing than on this August 7th. So I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you so much for everyone that is here. We thank you for this opportunity to say yes to you. And I pray for those who need a friend, that they will trust you. I pray for those who need a church home, that they would not delay, that they would come and get in on the ground floor of what God is doing here today. And Lord, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.